Psalm 25 in the New King James Bible. And as you see, this is a Psalm of David. To you, O Jehovah, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Jehovah. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Jehovah, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Jehovah. Good and upright is Jehovah. Therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of Jehovah are mercy and truth, for to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Jehovah, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man that fears Jehovah? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of Jehovah is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward Jehovah, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look on my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait upon you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. Now we see in the superscription that the editors of this psalm thought out and put up in there that this is a plea for deliverance and forgiveness. And that is part of what this psalm is. As I read through this, you may have noticed, I said Jehovah every time that we see the Lord in all in small caps there, all caps. Because what this psalm really is a song about the covenant of grace. Bottom line, this song is about the covenant. And so I thought it appropriate to use the covenant name of God, where God wrote it when he wrote this psalm. And it's in here that in verse 11, for your name's sake, O Jehovah, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. And the psalm is about the covenant people of God as a whole. And again, you've heard me say that the deficiency that people have in their understanding of the psalms is they make this a personal one-on-one issue. And our faith is not primarily a personal one-on-one relationship, but it's a relationship with God in the covenant. And we can see that through this psalm. Obviously, we see it through all the psalms. But it starts, to you, O Jehovah, the covenant God, the God who is who he is, the one who has promised to pardon, to pay for the sins, to offer up a sacrifice for his covenant people so as to reconcile them to himself. To you, Jehovah, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Now, that starts out in a personal deal, a personal focus. And the point of this is the point of so many psalms, it starts out with Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, as the covenant head of his people, as their representative before God, making a plea to God on their behalf. It starts, I trust in you, because he had to purchase our salvation. It's not anything we did along with him. It's not a cooperative effort. It's not he got us halfway there and we finished it or we applied the work that he did or anything of the sort. But he purchased our salvation. But in verse 3 we see, indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. The focus, he comes to God on our behalf and then pleads to God for us. Let no one who waits on you, meaning those saved through him. Show me your ways, teach me your paths, lead me in your truth, teach me, the psalmist says. And now this gets into one of the mysteries of our faith where we talk about, and I don't have time to even get into this. But Jesus came to earth as man, and it's as the God-man that he purchased our salvation. So there was an element of leading, teaching, and growing in there. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Verses 6 and 7 introduce an interesting thought, and one that is mentioned. You read it if you read theology works. But so often you don't, or very seldom do you hear of it any other place. Remember, Jehovah, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me, for your goodness sake, O Jehovah. And we think this can't be Jesus speaking, because Jesus had no sin. But remember, during the time that he paid for our sins, during the time he was actively purchasing our salvation, he wasn't just our representative. He actually carried our sin. He truly paid the penalty of it. And in that way, in a covenant fashion, he had sin upon him during this time of payment. So we see him there taking our sins upon him and paying the price of it. Moving on to the next section, it says, good and upright is Jehovah. It's not, he doesn't just save us. He doesn't just teach us. He does it because he is good. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. Children, the reason we're supposed to be good is because God asks it from us. And he teaches us to be good because he is good. And that's why we're taught and told to be good people, to be holy in the Lord, because we're in his name and he has saved us. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. Now, when kids learn the Bible, one of the first things they learn is in the book of Proverbs, where we're told not to be wise in our own eyes and to not rest on our own understanding. And that's what it's speaking of here. The humble he guides in justice, and they learn what true justice is because they don't put their feelings above the teaching of God. All the paths of Jehovah are mercy and truth. And isn't that what we need from him? Mercy first, and then truth. For such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. And again, here we have the covenant. We keep the covenant that he brought us into, and he purchased our place in it. For his name's sake, and that is a claim on the covenant of grace, when we claim upon the name of God. So who is the man who fears the Lord? Children, we are supposed to fear God. Him shall he teach in the way that God chooses. It's not that God will teach him in the way man chooses, but in the way God has chosen, the way Jehovah has chosen for us. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. And here again, we have the picture of the one covenant head, the representative, and then his descendants that inherit the earth in his name. The secret of Jehovah is with those who fear him. If the secret in the old days was, it was the gospel. The secret of Jehovah is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Again, the covenant of grace is the gospel. My eyes are ever toward Jehovah, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. There's the resting on God again for grace. And this second to last, the penultimate section, kids, there's your big word for the day. Turn yourselves to me and have mercy on me. Now here we have, again, the covenant head calling upon Jehovah. For I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. Look at my affliction. Look on my pain and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with a cruel hatred. Doesn't this sound like Jesus as he's going through his trial, being whipped, getting ready to be crucified? And that's exactly what this should bring your mind to. As he was purchasing our salvation, he suffered from the cruelty of evil men. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. And here, children, is one way we know this is Jesus speaking and not David. Because David would not ask for his own integrity and uprightness to be the means by which he is saved. But the Holy One of Israel could make that plea. For I wait for you, he says. And finally, the prayer for all of us that should be in our hearts. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. And I don't mean the little sliver of land in the Middle East, but Israel, who wrestles with God, the covenant people of God, are called out here. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. And in the covenant, Father, remember your people. It's a psalm that looks back more to the beginning of what I've talked about, the cycle that we see in the Psalms, the suffering, the dying, the payment, but the resting on the covenant of grace. And since Jesus performed these perfectly, we are saved through his works and saved through the covenant. As we sing this, and again, let's sing the song of Jesus and the gospel. We'll sing song 25C. 25C.